morning's scripture reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, Dale. Well, I have a big challenge sometimes, and that's getting the picture for myself of God's good news, like really getting that clear, crystal clear in my mind and my heart. And I think the reason for that challenge is that a lot of these things, quite honestly, I see through the glass dimly. I think we all do. And I just have these occasions. I can't get my head around the unimaginably big picture that God has, how really big God himself is, what God's really capable of doing. We get a small glimpse into something of that through what Diane shared this morning, but it's even larger than that. God's committed to this grand plan of bringing healing and transformation, putting all things that are wrong right in the whole of his creation through Jesus Christ. You know, when we say the Apostles' Creed, we come to a part in the creed where we say this right at the end, and I think the whole of the creed would simply fall apart if we couldn't say this, but it's right there at the end, and sometimes it just doesn't register with the impact that it should on me. But we say, "I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting." Now, as I say, I sometimes don't get that, and I'm not talking about not knowing the right answers. I got the right answers, but what I'm talking or thinking about here is, do I really get what that represents and what that means for how I'm to live my life, how we're to live our lives today? The hope, we sang about this in Christ alone, you know, the hope, the confidence, the passion, the purpose, the direction of life, that grand reality of God that the creed points us to, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, what that gives to us, what that means for us. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Let me tell you first off what it doesn't mean, because there's not a whiff of this in the Bible. The Bible doesn't come anywhere near it. I mean, it forbids us from thinking about this, despite how strongly it's in the cultural piety of our day. It's very strong. It really is. It's on display at so many of the funeral services that we go to, but there's nothing about it in the Scripture. It's quite simply wrong to see God's plan having anything to do with disembodied spirits flying through clouds, strumming harps or whatever in you know, wonderful, radiant, heavenly light. That's not what it's about. The resurrection of the body is all about receiving a new spirit-powered physical body that's fully alive. I'm talking here flesh and blood alive, a beating heart, breathing lungs, blood coursing through our veins. You read Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, and here's what it says. We eagerly await the redemption of the body. We were saved, you see, in hope. In this hope, we were saved for the redemption of the body. There's the grand plan. There's the heart of God through Jesus Christ to heal His creation in all its parts and facets. Jesus Christ Himself is the very first one to have a body, a physical body that's fit for heaven, fit for life on God's new earth. You take the first two chapters of Genesis, and you lay that beside the last two chapters of Revelation, and you pray, God, open this up for me. I think your eyes will pop, really. It's stunning. It's awesome. It's incredible. First two chapters of Genesis, last two chapters of Revelation. Genesis 1 and 2 is like, you ever seen those homes that have wraparound porches on them? That's what Genesis 1 and 2 is like. A wraparound porch around the whole of the house. That's the gift of God in our lives today. Oh, it's marred and it's stained and there's a fallenness to creation. But that's only the beginning. Because here's the thing that boggles the imagination. Revelation 21, Dale read from it. Revelation 21 and 22. Take that wraparound porch around the house. Now you walk through the doors of that house into the palatial home. That's the mansion that Jesus is preparing. That's God's new heaven and new earth. Because God's really up to something very, very big. So I wonder, I mean, is the God that I really live my life out of big enough to do all that, to take us through that door? Is He really big enough to heal His creation, to take all of the wrongs and make them right, to take all of the brutality and the oppression and the evil of the dictators of this world and heal it? Well, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is big enough to do that. In the scripture that Dale read, 21 Revelation, verse 5, look, Jesus says, I'm making everything new. Jesus is coming again to make a new heaven and a new earth. Here's the truth of it. I have loved ones who have died. I have people in this church family through the years that I've been here. I love them deeply. They've died. And I hope for more for them. I've got it inside of me. I hope for more for them than simply dying and going to heaven and that's the end of their story. I hope for more than that because that's not the Christian hope. That's not really the full dimension of the gospel. I'm paraphrasing Randy Alcorn in his book, Heaven. That book's up in our church library. Oh, it'll get back up in the church library because it's in my office right now, but I'm paraphrasing it. But just imagine to yourself that you live in a homeless shelter in Toronto and you learn that you've suddenly been awarded, you've been given all expenses paid trip to a 5-star hotel in Vancouver, and I'm going to call that one, I think, one of the best that's there, the Fairmont Pacific Rim Hotel. Okay, and you've got a chance to go there and stay there. Except you're told this ahead of time. You're told that staying there is only going to be a layover for you. Where are you heading next? Well, you're heading right back to Toronto. And where you're going to stay, your new home is Casa Loma. There's something of the picture of God's plan for the new heaven and the new earth. Heaven is going to come down to us and renew this world. Now we pray that. We're going to pray it in the communion part of the service in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done. Your will, God, be done right here on earth as it is in heaven. And one day it will be so, fully and completely, absolutely and totally. The opening verses of Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, where we live when we die with our trust in Christ, and the first earth, where we live now before we die, here's what it says, that's passed away. It's passed away. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Now, when the word new is used there, it really means something different than how we use that word in our world. On earth there are some things that are only new for a short while. You understand what I'm talking about? You get a new car, and guess what happens to it, even if you get it rust-proofed, right? It rusts, you know, it fades, it becomes obsolete. How many still have 8-tracks sitting around your house, right? Even a VCR, you know, with VHS stuff. But it's not so like that with God's new heaven and new earth. No more death. No more mourning or weeping or pain evermore. Gone. Passed away. No more. Now, not everything is going to disappear. God looked over creation in Genesis 1 and verse 31 of Genesis 1. Here's what the Lord said. He said, good. It's good. Because there's going to be some kind of connection. Don't ask me to spell it out, go into great detail about it, but there's going to be some kind of connection between the real object and its shadow. This is the shadow. But there's going to be a connection, just like there's a connection between a tiny seed and a beautiful flower. There's going to be a connection. When Jesus comes again, what he's going to do is he's going to make everything new. He's going to make everything new. He's not going to make a new everything. Are you hearing me? He's going to make everything new. What's that going to be like? Well, one of the most helpful people to me in this through my years has been C.S. Lewis, really, actually, in his Chronicles of Narnia. Are you familiar with that? The last book called The Last Battle. And here's one of the things that he says. He says in that story, the children, take the word blue, B-L-U-E. Just take that word, okay? What will it be like in the new heaven and the new earth? It's going to be bluer. B-L-U-E-R. There's the difference. More colorful, more vivid, more vibrant. It's going to be more like the real thing. This is the shadow. You take all of the positives of this life. Take all of the delights. Take all of the wonders. Take all of the richness. Take all of the pleasures of this life. Eliminate the negatives. And then you accentuate those positives and you magnify them to the 10th power. And then, maybe then, we're beginning to get a sense or a glimpse about what God's new heaven and new earth is really like. And it's going to get even better. It's more than simply Eden restored or Eden regained. The very best part of it is that through all of it, and you know, I only gave Diane 5 and she took 8, and I gave myself 10 and I'm at 12, I think. So will there be restaurants in heaven? I don't know, but I know there's going to be a lot of eating, the new heaven and the new earth. It talks about the feasting. Arts, the entertainment, drama, sports, discovery. You know, yes, yes, and yes again. It's God's new heaven and new earth. And the best thing of all, walking with us, right with us, experienced like we've never had the experience before, God's with us. The dwelling of God is with us. God lives with us and walks with us, and we'll have an experience of God that we could never have imagined, never dreamed would be possible. once more, and then I finish. I'm going to take you back to C.S. Lewis's last battle, and I've read it through the years, but just a very short while ago, a year and a half, 2 years ago, it came alive for me like it never had before, because I had been told that one of my friends, good friends, a retired Presbyterian minister, he had MS and he was near the end of life here with us, and I was heading down to visit with him in Smithville. And when I walked into the room where John was, his oldest son, Andrew, was there with him. Andrew's a Presbyterian minister up in Leakesdale. And Andrew was reading to his dad from this very passage in Lewis's last battle. I think it's a beautiful picture of what lies ahead, the new heaven, the new earth. And the four children, they've experienced some of the pain, but also some of the pleasure, the joys, the wonders, some of the hard times. They've experienced all of that. They're in Narnia, and they're afraid that Aslan the lion is going to send them back to earth. But Aslan gives the children this good news. "There was a real railway accident," said Aslan softly. "Your father and mother and all of you are, as you used to call it in the Shadowlands, dead. The term is over. The holidays have begun. The dream is ended. This is the morning." And as he spoke, he no longer looked to them like a lion. But the things that began to happen after that were so great and beautiful that I cannot write them. And for us, this is the end of all the stories. And we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the story, of the real story. All their life in this world and all the adventures in Narnia had only been the cover. They'd only been the title page. And now at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. We look forward, Lord, to the gift of tomorrow. We look forward to all of the joys and the wonders that it will have for us. And we're confident that the sun will rise for us tomorrow. We think sharing life with family and friends, that's wonderful beyond our asking. And yet, there's something that's greater and better by far even than that. And that's the wonder, the love, and the joy that will be our privilege, the gift you give to us in Christ, the very first one to have a body fit for this, your new heaven and your new earth. So thankful and celebrating all that you have given us, we join to pray for the more. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. When we gather around the table there's a lot of things that go on by the gift of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit alive in our midst and working. We look back, we look around, we look up, but we look forward too. We look forward. This is a sign to us through the death and the resurrection of Jesus of what God has in store, of the big vista that we have through the gift of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Let's join together in prayer. Lord, it is with joy that we praise you. You are the gracious one. You've created heaven and earth. You've made us in your image. You've kept your covenant with us even when we fell into sin, walked away from you, resisted you. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ our Lord, whose coming has opened up to us the way of salvation, a salvation past and present and future, a salvation that awaits his triumphant return. We eagerly wait for that even this morning as we gather around this table. Here today, we come to join our voices, the voices of us here in Knox Church, Lord God, to join them with all of the saints, the angels, the whole of creation, willing, eager to proclaim the glory of your name. We pray in Jesus' triumphant and life-giving name. Amen. Please stand if you're able. We're going to affirm our faith in words that are taken from Living Faith on these very realities. We'll join together as we, in unison. God has prepared for us things beyond our imagining. Our hope is for a renewed world and for fullness of life in the age to come. As Jesus taught us, we pray, "Thy kingdom come." Life had its beginning in God. In God, it will come to completion, and its meaning will be fully revealed. All creation will find fulfillment in God. Christ will come again. Only God knows when and how our Lord will return. Now we see in part, then we shall see face to face. Come, Lord Jesus. May the God of hope fill us with joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we abound in hope. Please be seated. We give thanks to God, our Father in heaven, that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this meal, this feast, this supper, this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again. At the meal, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, given for you. Do this, remembering me." And in the same way, he took the cup after the supper and he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of all your sins. Do this, remembering me." For whenever we eat the bread and we drink from the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. Therefore, we proclaim our faith as something signed and sealed in this sacrament, conveying to us that Christ has died and Christ is risen and Christ will come again. Again, I ask you to join me in prayer. Let's pray.